Chapter 3. Under ideal conditions, the walk to Union Square should take about 40 minutes. It's only a mile and a half, but these are far from ideal conditions. Sam and I are backtracking along the same blocks we spent the afternoon fighting through, back to where the Mogadorian presence is heavier. Hopefully, 9 and 5 don't kill each other before we get there. We need them if we're going to have any shot at winning this war. Both of them. Sam and I stick to the shadows. Some blocks still have electricity, so the streetlights are on, shining like it's a normal evening in the big city, as if the roads aren't littered with overturned cars and broken chunks of pavement. We avoid those blocks, knowing it will be too easy for the Mogs to spot us. We pass through what used to be Chinatown. It looks like a tornado touched down there. The sidewalks are impassable on one side. An entire block's worth of buildings collapse to rubble. There are hundreds of dead fish in the middle of the street. We have to pick our way carefully through the obstacles. On our way down from the UN, there were still people on nearly every block. The NYPD were trying to manage an orderly evacuation, but most were fleeing haphazardly, just trying to stay ahead of the Moog squadrons that seemed equally likely to slaughter civilians as take them prisoners. Everyone was panicked and shell-shocked at their new, horrific reality. Sam and I picked up the stragglers, the ones who didn't manage to leave quick enough, or whose groups got blown apart by Moog patrols. There were a lot of them. Now, after 10 blocks, we haven't seen another living soul. Maybe most of the people in Lower Manhattan made it to the evacuation point on the Brooklyn Bridge, if the Moogs haven't attacked it by now. Anyway, I figure that anyone who managed to survive the day is smart enough to spend the night in hiding. As we sneak down the next desolated block, Sam and I skirting cautiously around an abandoned ambulance, I hear whispering from a nearby alley. I put my hand on Sam's arm, and when we stop walking, the noise cuts off. I can tell we're being watched. "What is it?" Sam asks, his own voice low. "There's someone out there." Sam squints into the darkness. "Let's keep going," he says after a few seconds. "They don't want our help. It's hard for me to leave anyone behind." But Sam's right. Whoever's out there is doing perfectly fine in their hiding spot, and we'd only be putting them in more danger taking them with us. 5 minutes later, we turn a corner and see our first Mogadorian patrol of the night. The Moogs are at the opposite end of the block. We have the space to safely observe them. There are a dozen warriors all carrying blasters. Above them, a skimmer hums along, sweeping the street with a spotlight mounted on the ship's underbelly. The patrol moves methodically down the block, a group of four warriors periodically breaking off from the rest to enter darkened apartment buildings. I watch them go through this routine twice, and both times I breathe a sigh of relief when the warriors return without any human prisoners. What would happen if these Moogs found a human in one of these buildings and pulled them screaming into the street? I couldn't just let that happen, right? I'd have to fight. What about after Sam and I move on? They're predators. If we leave them alive, eventually, they'll find prey. As I'm considering this, Sam nudges me, pointing towards a nearby alley that will let us avoid the Moogs. "Come on," he says quietly, "before they get too close." I stay rooted in place, considering our odds. There are only 12 of them, plus the ship. I've fought bigger groups before and won. Granted, I'm still fatigued from an afternoon spent battling nonstop, but we'd have the element of surprise on our side. I could take down the skimmer before they even realize they're under attack, and the rest would fall easily. "We can take them," I conclude.
"John, are you nuts?" Sam asks, grabbing my shoulder.
We can't fight every Moog in New York City, but we can fight these ones, I reply. I'm feeling stronger now, and if something goes wrong, I'll just heal us after. Assuming we don't, get shot in the face and killed outright. Battle to battle, healing us right after, how much of that can you take? I don't know. There's too many of them. We have to pick our battles. You're right, I admit grudgingly. We dart down the alley, hop a chain-link fence, and emerge on the next block over, leaving the Mogadorian patrol to its hunting. Logically, I know Sam is right. I shouldn't be wasting my time with a dozen Moogs when there's a greater war to be won. After an exhausting day, I should be conserving my strength. I know all this is true. Even so, I can't help feeling like a coward for avoiding the fight. Sam points up at a sign for First Street and Second Avenue. Numbered streets were getting closer. They were fighting around 14th Street, but that was at least an hour ago. The way they were going at it, they could have gone in any direction from there. So let's keep our ears open for explosions and creative cursing, Sam suggests. We only make it a few more blocks uptown before crossing paths with another Mogadorian patrol. Sam and I huddle behind a delivery truck, abandoned carts of fresh-baked bread still sitting on the offloading ramp. I poke my head around the front of the truck, taking a head count. Once again, there are 12 warriors with a skimmer supporting them. This group behaves differently than the last one, though. The ship hovers in place, its spotlight fixed on the shattered front window of a bank. The Moogs outside all have their blasters pointed into the building. Something has them spooked. I recount the pale heads glaring in the spotlight. 11. Only 11, where there were definitely 12 before. Did one of them just get ashed without me noticing? Come on, Sam says warily, probably thinking that I'm spoiling for a fight again. We should go while they're distracted. Hold up, I reply. Something's happening here. With the others covering them, two Moogs stalk towards the front of the bank. They stay low, weapons at the ready, looking for something beyond the reach of the skimmer's spotlight. When they reach the bank's threshold, both Moogs toss their blasters into the air. The entire squad pauses, frozen, stunned by this development. It's telekinesis. Someone just disarmed those Moogs with a legacy. I give Sam a wide-eyed look. 9 or 5, I say. They're pinned down. Spurred to action, the rest of the Moogs open fire on the darkness of the bank. The two disarmed warriors are lifted off their feet again by telekinesis and used as shields. They disintegrate in the flurry of their squad's blaster fire. Then a desk comes flying out from within the bank. Two Moogs are crushed by the airborne furniture, and the rest backpedal for better cover. Meanwhile, the skimmer maneuvers closer to the street, its guns coming around, angling for a shot inside the bank. I'll take the ship, you take the warriors, I say. Let's do it, Sam replies, nodding once. I just hope it's not 5 holed up in there. I spring out from behind the truck and run toward the action, firing up my lumen as I go. The nerve endings in my hands feel fried. I can actually feel the heat from my own lumen, like I'm waving my hand over a candle. The pain is bearable, an obvious side effect of overdoing it today. I push through, quickly tossing a fireball at the skimmer. My first attack explodes their spotlight, darkening the street. The ship is knocked off course, just as it unloads on the bank, the heavy blaster fire carving chunks off the brick side of the building. With the main gun distracted, I hope to see 9 charge out from the bank and join the fray. No one comes out. Maybe whichever guard is inside is injured. After a long day of fighting each other and the Moogs, they're probably more worn out than me. I hear a sizzle of electricity behind me. Sam firing off his blaster and watches the two closest Moogs go up in clouds of ash. Seeing us coming from behind, another Moog tries to duck behind a parked car. Sam yanks him out of cover with his newfound telekinesis and lights him up. One of the Moogs screams a burst of grating Mogadorian words into a communicator, probably radioing for help. Broadcasting our location. That's not good. I bound up the hood of an SUV parked conveniently beneath the skimmer. On my way, I lob a fireball at the Moog with the communicator. He's engulfed by flames, and is soon nothing more than ash pooled around some melted gear. Even so, the damage is done. They know we're here. We need to get out of here. Quick. I leap from the roof of the SUV, putting a huge dent into the metal as I push off. At the same time, I hit the skimmer with a telekinetic punch. I don't have the power to bring the ship down, but I hit it hard enough so that one side of the saucer-shaped craft dips low towards me. I land right on top of the thing, two Mogadorian pilots staring at me in shock. A few weeks ago, it might have felt good to see the Moogs recoil in fear. I might have even said something funny, borrowed some quip from Nine's playbook before killing them. But now, after the terror they've unleashed on New York, I don't waste the breath. I tear the cockpit door loose from its hinges and send it flying into the night. The Moogs try to unbuckle from their seats, groping for their blasters. Before they can do anything, I unleash a funnel of white, hot fire. The skimmer immediately begins to careen out of control. I leap free of the ship, landing hard on the sidewalk below, my tired legs barely supporting me. The skimmer smashes into a storefront across the street and explodes, black smoke rising out from the store's shattered window. Sam runs up next to me, his blaster pointed at the ground. The rest of the area is clear of Moogs, for the moment. 12 down, like 100,000 left to go, Sam says dryly. One of them got off a distress call. We gotta go, I tell Sam, but even as I say this, I feel the same lightheadedness from earlier creeping on. The rush of battle gone, my fatigue is now back. I have to support myself on Sam's shoulder for a minute. Until I get my bearings.
No one's come out of the bank, Sam says. I don't think it's Nine in there. Unless he's hurt, it's way too quiet.
Five? I growl, moving cautiously towards the bank's busted entrance. I'm not sure I can handle a fight with him at this point. My only hope is that Nine's done a good job of softening him up.
There, Sam says, pointing into the darkened lobby.
Someone's moving around. Whoever it is, they appear to have spent the battle hiding behind a sofa.
Hey, it's all clear out here, I call into the bank, gritting my teeth as I shine my lumen inside. Nine? Five?
It isn't one of the guard who cautiously steps into my beam of light. It's a girl. She's probably about our age, only a couple of inches shorter than me, with a lean sprinter's body. Her hair is pulled back in tight rows of braids. Her clothes are scuffed up, either from the fight or from the general chaos. But otherwise, she looks unhurt. Tossed over the girl's left shoulder is a heavy-looking duffel bag. She looks from Sam to me with wide brown eyes, eventually focusing on the light shining from the palm of my hand.
You are him, the girl says, inching forward. You are the guy from TV.
Now that the girl is close enough to see, I shut off my lumen. Don't want to be lighting up our location for the Moog reinforcements that are on their way.
I'm John, I tell her. John Smith, yeah, I know, the girl says, nodding eagerly. I'm Daniela. He really killed the hell out of those aliens.
Thanks.
Was there someone else in there with you? Sam cuts in, craning his neck to look past her. A dude with anger issues and a habit of taking off his shirt? A gross one-eyed guy?
Daniela cocks her head at Sam, eyebrows raised.
No?
What?
Why?
We thought we saw someone attack those Moogs with telekinesis, I say, looking Daniela over again, feeling equal parts curious and cautious.
We've been tricked before by potential allies.
You mean this? Daniela reaches out her hand, and one of the dead Moog's blasters floats to her. She plucks it out of the air, resting it against the shoulder not supporting her duffel bag.
Uh-huh. That's a new development for me.
I'm not the only one,
Sam breathes, looking at me with wide eyes.
My mind is cycling through possibilities so quickly that I'm struck speechless. I might not have understood the why of it, but Sam getting legacies made sense to me on a gut level. He spent so much time around us guard, done so much to help us. If any human was going to suddenly develop legacies, it would be him. The hours since the invasion have been so crazy that I didn't really have time to think about it. Didn't need to, really. Sam with legacies just seemed logical. When I imagined other humans besides Sam getting legacies, I'd been thinking of people we know, people who have helped us. I was thinking of Sarah, mostly. Definitely not some random girl. This girl, though, Daniela, her having legacies means something bigger than I imagined has happened. Who is she? Why does she have powers? How many more like her are out there? Meanwhile, Daniela is staring at me with that star-struck look again.
So, can I ask why you picked me?
Picked you?
Yeah, to turn into a mutant, Daniela explains. I couldn't do this shit until today when you and the pale guys...
Mogadorians, Sam clarifies.
I couldn't move stuff with my mind until you and the Mogadorkians showed up. Daniela finishes. What's the deal, man? None of the other people I've seen out here have powers.
Sam clears his throat and raises his hand, but Daniela ignores him. She's on a roll now.
Am I radioactive? What else can I do? You got those flashlight hands going on. Am I going to be able to do that? Why me? Answer the last one first.
I rub the back of my neck, overwhelmed. I have no idea why you...
Oh.
Daniela frowns, looking down at the ground.
John, shouldn't we get moving?
I nod when Sam reminds me of the impending Mogadorian reinforcements. We've already stood here talking for way too long. Standing in front of me, and next to me, for that matter, are... What, exactly? New members of the Guard? Humans? It's like nothing I've ever contemplated. I need to wrap my head around the new status quo quickly, because if there are more human Guard out there, they're going to be looking for guidance. And with all the Saipan dead, well, that leaves us, the Lorik. First things first, I need to make sure Daniela stays with us. I need time to talk with her, to try figuring out what exactly triggered her legacies. It's not safe here. You should come with us, I tell her.
Daniela looks around at the destruction that surrounds us. Is it going to be safe wherever you're going?
No, obviously not.
What John means is that this particular block is going to be crawling with Moogs any minute now, Sam explains.
He starts walking away from the bank, trying to lead by example.
Daniela doesn't follow, and so I don't either.
Your sidekick's nervous, Daniela observes.
My name's Sam.
You're a nervous guy, Sam, Daniela replies, one hand on her cocked hip.
She's staring at me again, sizing me up.
If more of those aliens come, won't you just blow their asses away?
I find myself having to recycle the pick-your-battles logic that made me bristle so much when Sam used it on me. There are too many to keep fighting. It might not feel like it now because you've just started using them, but our legacies aren't a limitless resource. We can push too hard, get tired, and then we're no good to anyone.
Good advice, Daniela says.
She remains rooted in place.
Too bad you couldn't answer any of my other questions.
Look, I don't know why you have legacies, but it's an amazing thing, a good thing. It's destiny. Maybe. You can help us win this war.
Daniela snorts. Seriously? I'm not fighting any war, John Smith from Mars. I'm trying to survive out here. This is America, yo. The army will take care of these weak-ass dust aliens. They got the drop on us, that's all.
I shake my head in disbelief. There's seriously no time to explain to Daniela everything she needs to know about the Mogadorians, their superior technology, their infiltration of Earth's governments, their endless amounts of disposable vat-born warriors and monsters. I never had to explain those things to the other members of the Guard. We always knew the stakes. We were raised understanding our mission on Earth, but Daniela and the other newly minted Guard who might be wandering around? What if they aren't ready to fight? Or don't want to? An explosion shakes the ground under our feet. It emanates from a few blocks away, but is still powerful enough to set off car alarms and rattle my teeth. Thick smoke, darker than the night sky, floats into view from the north. It sounds like a building just collapsed.
Seriously, Sam says, something's headed our way.
Another explosion. Closer, confirms Sam's suspicion. I turn desperately to Daniela. We can help each other. We have to, or we won't survive. I say, thinking not just of the three of us, but of humans and Lorik. We're looking for our friend. Once we find him, we're going to get out of Manhattan. We heard the government's established a safe zone around the Brooklyn Bridge. We'll go there and...
Daniela waves off my whole plan, stepping towards me. Her voice is raised, and I feel her telekinesis buffet my chest like a jabbing index finger. My stepdad got roasted by those pale scumbags, and now I'm out here looking for my mom, alien guy. She worked down here. You saying I should drop all that and join your army of two running around my city that you played a part in getting blown up? You saying the friend you're looking for is more important than my mom?
Another explosion. Closer still. I have no idea what to say to Daniela. That, yes, saving Earth is more important than saving her mom. Is that my recruitment speech? Would I have listened to that if someone said it about Henri or Sarah?
Oh my God, Sam says, exasperated. Could we at least agree to all run in the same direction?
And that's when the reinforcements come into view. It isn't a squadron of skimmers or warriors come to kill us. It's the Anubis.